let's join our hearts together. And as we come forward for that prayer that's too much, just that hand up and down as we come. Thank you. Let us join our hearts together and seek Him. Father, praise You. That's where we start from, praising You. Because without You, we're nothing. You teach us so many valuable lessons, but the one that You constantly remind us is never, 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 never stop praying. You don't know what's going to happen, but we keep praying on through. We have so many to be lifting up, Father, that have things that they can't share out loud, things that are too great upon the heart. And so we ask that You communicate with them directly. That You let them know that Your presence is filling them at this moment, that the prayer that they have is being heard, that they are being ready for whatever You have to come next in Your will. But we thank You. We ask for forgiveness of sins. We ask that You watch over us when we are preparing to go into temptation. We thank You for the great reports for Hannah's birthday and for Alan's report coming back and Margaret making it back. And we especially are always blessed with those who come to visit. But they may hear the word also. Father, we ask that You watch over this country. For the direction that it's taking is not towards You any longer. That You would strengthen those in power. That You would strengthen those teaching, whether whatever capacity, Sunday school, primary school, home school, bigger schools, adult school. That they would teach truth and honesty, regardless of the consequences, knowing that they are doing Your work. Father, we ask that You would lift up those who are not here with us today for whatever reason keeps them away, and give them safe traveling and good mercy. And thankful we are when a soul comes back. Oh, praise You. Watch over those who take care of us in all institutions. From the people at the restaurant, to the military, to the hospital, to the fire station. And remind us to be ever humbled in front of You as we continue on in life. And when need be, we will use the prayer that Jesus taught us. As we pray it together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our scripture lesson today comes from Psalm chapter 78, verses 23 through 36. Now, Asaph is retelling a history of a Jewish nation. You see, from the time of slavery to David's reign, he's teaching those who did not know. He's explaining some to them. Psalms chapter 78. Verses 23 through 36. I actually got it in the bulletin this time. Threw you a curveball. And in the middle of that psalm, he's talking about how hard-headed we are. Not just the Jewish community at that time, but he's also seeing something that will yet to be coming forth. Verse 23, listen to this. Yet He gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He's talking about Moses. He rained down manna for the people to eat and gave them the grain of heaven. Talking about God. Man ate the bread of angels. He sent them all the food they could eat. He let loose the east wind from heavens and led forth the south wind by his power. He rained meat down on them like dust, flying birds like sand on the seashore. He made them come inside their camp and all around their tents. They ate till they had more than enough to eat, for he had given them what they craved. Now, one of these days I'll get my fingertips back. But before they turned from the food they craved, even while it was still in their mouths, God's anger rose against them. He put to death the sturdiest among them, cutting down the young men of Israel. In spite of all this, verse 32, they kept on sinning. In spite of wonders, they did not believe. So he ended their days in futility and their years in terror. Whenever God slew them, they would seek him. They eagerly turned to him. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Interesting snippet out of that psalm. And let us dwell on that as we come before the Lord right now seeking his guidance. Would you pray with me? Father, open our hearts and our minds to these words, that we will be able to hear what lesson has been laid out for us. We will come to know Christ closer. That we will be strengthened as we leave from here today in our walk. That we will set aside whatever labors are tempting us at this moment. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's try something different. I want you to repeat after me when I say go. Ready? What in the world? Go.
What in the world?
Go.
What in the world?
Let's try to say it all together instead of it sounding like this. One, two, three.
What in the world?
I want you to say that after each one of these statements. I'll point to you. Now I want you to say, what in the world? All right, here we go. There is no such thing as sin.
What in the world?
That got your attention. You can do whatever you want to for whatever reason.
What in the world?
This is getting fun. Christianity is a false religion.
What in the world?
God does not pass judgment.
What in the world?
God does not exist.
What in the world?
That has been the theme this week. Stop and think about those statements. When we take a look at what has been going on, just at this moment, we hear those statements, and it should be followed up with, what in the world? And we use that statement. What in the world is wrong with that boy? What in the world is wrong with them? What in the world? What in the world? We should stop right there at the first part of that statement. What in the world? What in the world keeps them from believing? You know, we look at this scripture at the moment, and it's a hard scripture to read. I encourage you to go back to Psalm 78. There's about 3,000 verses there. Or 72, and read that story. It's not just the story of the Jewish community. It's not just the story of the people that God picked out. It's the story of us. And we didn't even exist yet. If you go back in the middle of that, and that was a scripture that was put forth today, you see what in the world they accepted. What was going on in the world that people wanted to have, which was everything. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I'm guilty of it. Last weekend, I was in my element, so to speak. Got to go to church and bib overhauls, thank you. Got to be around tractors and gas engines and grease and smoke and sawdust and oil and all the things in the world that makes life worth living. And I walk through the rows of tractors going, well, I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. Because I get a little greedy when I get around them things. I don't know why. And people feed into my greed by reminding me of where the next show is. Thank you, Marjorie. But I want what in the world it has to offer. That's where we mess up. I went to a meeting Thursday night down at Pipe Creek Church of Brody because in October of this year, I will be preaching their revival service. Get ready because you're taking that Sunday. I don't even know when it is. It's sometime in October. I'll let you know. But I'm sitting there talking to everybody, and I had a guy look at me and go, what's this world coming to? What in the world is this world coming to? And I went, an end. The same thing it's been coming to. The same thing that it's been coming to for thousands of years. But I've been hearing this statement. Maybe I'm listening to it more than usual. What in the world? Well, we all know what took place this week. All kinds of foolishness. All kinds of everything. I keep hearing these statements from persons I know don't go to church, and they don't really worry about getting closer to Jesus, but they keep asking these questions, what is this world coming to? It's coming to an end. And brother, if you ain't there prepared when it gets to the end, you are not going to be there. That's it. Amen. If you allow the world to determine what you're going to do. The Jews did it in here. Asaph writing these things. He said they got everything they wanted. Manna. If you go back and read Exodus, what happened? It fell from the sky. Do you know how often I've prayed for that? I would love to see loaves of bread falling from the sky with a little butter and some jam, some apple butter, fresh and warm. And they ate all they could stand. They ate until they were full. And that wasn't good enough for them. And God brought in meat. Boy, let me just tell you about how many times I've thought about that statement. I would love to see the cow walk up on the front porch and go, what will it be today, Paul? But that's what he gave to them. Because that's what they begged for. And they ate until they were full, and they didn't thank him, and they said, this is what we did, this is what I wanted. So you read in that scripture what happened. He got mad, and he said, I've had enough, and he started to slay them. He passed judgment. The God that does not pass judgment. Raise your hands if you've ever heard this. Well, God is a God of love. Raise your hands if you've ever heard this one. There ain't no way the God of love is going to kill all these people at the end of time. Really? He will pass judgment. There is sin. You cannot do whatever you want whenever you want to. And Christianity is as real as me standing in front of you right here, right now. What in the world sees is how we can continue to cling to something that they cannot understand. And so they try to fill themselves up with many things. If you go on back to it a little bit, the psalmist writing that, he made it's clear that back then, it's no different than it was today. We're no smarter. Right? What do you have today? You can flick a switch on the wall and lights come on. Right? You got a cell phone? You can call halfway around the world on your cell phone now. How many people in this room remember when you had to pick up the phone and ask the operator to connect you to the long-distance operator so they would connect you to the international operator so they would connect you to the country operator? I'm not that old. But I have heard about it. I've seen hands starting to pop up. Now what do you do? Boop. Hello, Scotland? Yes, I'd like to buy a steam engine. We get information at the just like that, as fast as we want it. Everything is out there now. Are we any smarter?
Nope.
Are we just as dumb as we were back then? Yep. Why? Because we forget that the simplest truths are still that. Simple truth. We allow what in the world is going on to direct us too many times. The people that are lost in this world are all over that. Back in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer in Hebrews wrote these words. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. Rebellion. That's when you're 18 years old, growing up in the church, stepping out into the world and saying, I've had enough of that. No. I'll never be a preacher. We see how that worked out, didn't we? We allow what in the world to dictate us. And so we go back to the scripture again. And what do we have? We have the psalmist telling us a story that has happened over and over and over again. God does pass judgment. J. Kirk Johnson wrote these words. Why would Christians... Now, listen to how he starts it. Why would Christians, not unsaved, not lost, why would Christians choose to sin rather than what they know God wants them to do? There's four answers given today. Some would point to Romans 8:16 and explains that Christians who willfully sin have forgotten their true identity as children of God. While it is true that Christians can forget who they are and sin as a result, Christians can also be well aware of who they are and sin anyway. Number two, some say Christians choose to sin because they have lost sight of what God has done for them. That ought to have been the number one statement. Brothers and sisters, do I need to remind you that a man from Galilee walked to that stick and asked to be nailed onto it to save you and me? When you're thinking about that sin, some wisely state that Christians constantly choose to sin because they have forgotten that God will severely discipline disobedient believers. You know what? I always believed in God and Jesus. I didn't believe I wanted to live like that, but I always believed in it until it got to a point where he decided that was enough. You know my story. It led me here. Here. There. What in the world I was doing was keeping me away from Christ. What in the world I was believing in was not that. And so he chose to discipline me. Some said Christians who consciously sin have lost their focus on the future. And therein lies my problem. We have allowed what in the world is going on to dictate and shape us far too often. Forgetting that the truth here, black and white. There's no gray areas. The truth is right here. What in the world doesn't permeate this? What in the world out there doesn't change this? What in the world that's out there will never, ever disrupt the Word of God? Ever. And it does it to us. It does it to me. We ain't perfect. I love how people say, oh, Christian, you're supposed to be perfect. Really? Come spend a couple hours with me driving through traffic. I'm anything but. I'm getting better. I don't wish so much anymore. I had a snowplow on the front of the truck all the time. But I still fall. Because we are allowing the world to dictate to us. I work in an environment where they don't look at things the same way They look at things as, so what? I used to work for a guy who would cuss like a sailor on shore leave in front of his 4-year-old and 6-year-old child. And one time I went over to him, I said, what is your problem? Well, they got to hear it somewhere, so you might as well hear it from me. They have to hear it? Dr. Ralph Sockman writes an experience he had while standing on the edge of Niagara Falls one clear, cold March day. Wrapped in white winter garments, the falls glistened in the bright sun. As some birds swooped down to snatch a drink from that clear water, Sockman's companion told him how he had seen birds carried over the edge of Niagara Falls. He asked him to explain that. Sockman said as they would dip down for a drink, tiny droplets of ice from the spray would begin to form on their wings, and they would become heavy. And they kept coming back more and more, and the danger became worse and worse, until at last they could not fly anymore and they would fall. Brothers and sisters, that's the first taste of sin. And what in the world keeps us from here? Let's swing around here a minute. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. Starting in 11. Since it's VBS Sunday, and I've got this thing caught in my pea-sized brain, I want to talk to you about a simple, truthful old story, the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. If anybody can recite the whole story from memory, I'll give you a dollar. How about it, Martha? I mean, word for word. Come on, you want to try? And we're just going to run through it a little bit. In verse 11, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of my estate. And he divided his property between them. That's the world. Give it to me now. Give it to me right this moment. I want it all. Not long after that, the younger son got all together he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. That sound familiar? It says here that a severe famine hit the country. Not long after he went broke, a severe famine hit the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him out to the field to feed his pigs. I asked this question Monday night. Has anybody in this room ever slopped pigs? Is there anything in that bucket that you would want to eat? I don't see any hands coming up now. I don't understand why they eat it. But they make bacon, so that's all right with me. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And so we see ourselves with what in the world was keeping him away? Pride, fear, anguish, despair, isolation. You can see it all. We know what comes next. He began to think about his hired hands. You can read the rest of that story. How they had plenty to eat. How they had plenty around. How they just simply were able to live being the hired hands of his father. And what did he say? Go back to the scripture. He said, I will set out, verse 18, and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. And I love the next version of this. I can picture this 1,000 times in my mind. A ragged old farmer standing out on the porch of his ranch house, missing his son. And what's he see off in the distance? He sees him coming. He doesn't even give him a chance to come up there. The father jumps off that porch and pow, runs out there to him. And before the boy can even know what's happening, that father hits him full on and wraps those arms around. And the boy, trying to get those words out, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Please make me like one of your hired hands. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And what does the father do? He wraps his arm around him. He takes the world away from him. Says what?
put on a ring, put on a coat, put on sandals on his feet, get a calf and kill it. We're going to have a party. My son who was dead is alive again. Brothers and sisters, when you come back home, that is you back in the arms of your Father and your Savior. Amen. What in the world kept you away? I know what it was for me. It was sheer stupidity. Plain and simple. That father's grabbed a hold of him, holding on to him. What in the world? What in the world is this world coming to? What keeps us from seeing sin? What keeps the world from seeing sin as sin? You know what it is. Selfishness. Yes, we all know what went on this week with Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry. I would have made the same statement. The man said, I did not say I don't love anybody. I'm simply agreeing with what the Bible says because I am a Christian. Brothers and sisters, it is so hard to be a Christian in today's world. Because the world wants to keep you away from it. I have seen people saying foul things. I had to sit and listen to them debate about it at work. And when it all got said and done, somebody said, what do you think about all that, Paul? I said, well, not much. I said, number one, you're wrong. Number two, you're so wrong that one of these days you're going to know you're right. But if you want to find out how to be right now, I'll talk to you about it. I fear my God. I ain't scared of hardly nothing. Not even snake scale. I fear my God. I fear His judgment. I fear that if the gift that He has given me, the manna and the meat, the ability to talk openly about Jesus Christ and the truth of His Word, I fear that if I do not, the judgment for me will be too great. And so in that fear, I happily commit to doing the work that what in the world doesn't affect me. Brothers and sisters, I commend to you the same thing. Have the fear of God. Not that you're so scared you're shaking in a corner, but that you want to do the right thing. Every time I got sent out to bale hay, my grandfather would come along behind me when I was in the field for a while and check on it. And if I wasn't doing it the right way, oh boy. We'd have to stop the tractor. We'd have to have a long discussion. I'd have to get yelled at. And I learned that I wanted to do it the best to please him. Very simple. You want to talk about Christ the best you can to please him. You want to walk in this world so that what in the world doesn't keep you from this. What in the world that is trying to buffet against you, those who are lost will see you not being allowed to be tempted that way and say, hey, how did you do that? What is there? Oh, I'll tell you, everlasting salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we need you. The what in the world needs to be merely a comment. Maybe even we should start saying, well, whatever's going on with them, I have to follow Christ. I need to follow Christ. I cannot think straight without following Christ. Yes, we are still sinners. We are still making mistakes. We still mess everything up royally. And yet, your mercy grants us forgiveness. We humble ourselves before you and we ask, Father, that you would continually look upon us as we look toward you for the guidance and for the direction of your will. We pray for those that don't get it, that they would let themselves gorge on whatever the vices of this world has to offer. And that in a moment of terror, turn, but the moment everything's okay again, turn back away. Father, let us reach out to them, that they may know the kingdom, that they may know the salvation, that they may know what's going on. Give us the strength to do that. I have no idea when your son is coming back. I don't want to dwell on it. I know he is, and I know it won't be far off. Let us go out and work for your son. As the old hymnal says, let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun, in order that we may talk of all his wonders, love, and care. Don't let what in the world keep us from what is right in your world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a particular need, as we start to wind it down, as we prepare for this last hymn, if there is something set upon your heart, I offer the altar to you. I stand ready to pray with you. I stand ready to walk with you, to talk with you. If you do not know Christ on this day, then come forward and let's talk about Him. If you need that prayer, that strengthening as we prepare to depart, please come forward.
Please stand and turn to page 505.